Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hi. Oh,
welcome to We Stand Together, an academic pop culture symposium.
It is. We are the pop culture professors.
You know, that's right. You know, we're smart people, and you know, we're going to be talking dumb topics.
Some really dumb topics. You know what? I'm Caitlin Bitsaguy.
And you know what? I'm still Lauren Brickman. Somehow, miraculously. It's the year 2021, and I'm still just Lauren Brickman.
You still are the most.
I mean, one day though, you're all gonna have a good laugh and a big sigh of relief when I log on and say, "And I'm Lauren Lee."
Oh, and Shimu, when you marry,
when Shimu finally, unblocks me
from his heart,
when he unlocks his heart and lets me in.
You know, it could be a Bridgerton thing where he's made a vow that you don't know about.
Oh, my God.
But it has nothing to do with you. It's just that there's a bigger picture for him. And right now, he's made a vow he'll never marry someone named Lauren Brickman. And It's a very strange circumstance that he made that vow. but it'll all be resolved.
So I guess my resolution to be more grounded in reality is just really off to a great start.
And you're doing well. It's just compared. It's more grounded.
Yeah, more grounded. I'm just working on being more grounded than I was. So as helpful as this is, and as much as I do use this podcast for therapy, this podcast is really about being a stan, which, you know, talking about my inevitable engagement to Shimu Lee is stan-dom. That is stan-dom. Because mm-hmm. When you're obsessed with a particular person, celebrity, couple, or, you know, anything, that's stanning. And Caitlin, what are you stanning right now?
Okay. Right now, I am stanning everything in the world of Kim Kardashian and Kanye's divorce. Now, we don't record this live. So if something has happened that's really sad in between now, I apologize to the listener. I don't stand any bad things happening, but I like the circus. But really, what's most important to me is that Kim takes this moment to write her first memoir. I think we need her first tell-all. We're talking over 700-page book, a la Jessica Simpson. 40 is the year you can do it, I feel, the first one. Because we need to know the ins and outs. And if you think we already know everything about Kim from the show, we don't. Because a book is a totally different thing.
I do have a couple of follow-up questions. I know this episode is not about this, but this is a ripe and rich topic. Do you think when we start to get the first volume in what is likely to be a 12-volume tome of her story, do you think it'll be the truth, or do you think it's going to continue to be this, like, curated image that she's gotten so good? Like, we've been reading a lot of memoirs over the past couple of months.
Yes.
And there is a distinct difference between the subjects who are like, I'm showing up to speak my truth, and those who are like, I'm showing up to spin my gold.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Well, obviously, I'm more interested in the honest version. I don't think she'd be ready to talk about her marriage to Kanye, but I think almost everything up to that, including her like courtship with Kanye and maybe her pregnancy with North, I think she might be ready to look at and be honest about, because that's the stuff I'm interested in. I'm interested in the Chris Humphreys, what her mind was going on there.
Yeah.
Really, like, even the sex tape, like, the, you know, people have accused them of, they leaked the sex tape. I actually still don't think that's totally true, but they clearly decided to capitalize on the sex tape. And what was that conversation like with your mother and your manager? Like, I would like to know some things about her reflections on Courtney and Chloe and their relationship as it's changed over the years. I don't know if any of them will ever be able to be honest about their father. That's something that they...
That's sort of their, like, root of everything.
It is. And, you know, my grief counselor when I was going taught me about the topic of complicated grief, which I believe they are stuck in, which I do think I mentioned to my grief counselor. And she was like, okay, we don't need to talk about Chloe right now.
And you're but like, but this is like, what's on my mind. And
but
I'm
working through something.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so fascinating. I kind of wonder what I would hope as a reader the experience would be like reading Mariah Carey's, where it felt yes. like Mariah was really honest about what she was willing to share. And like, I didn't need her to go into details about Nick Cannon because like they're actively still co-parenting. Like, you don't need to go there. And I don't right. need her to go there about Kanye. But you're right, there's so many other perspectives I would be so interested in learning about, because she really has lived a very interesting public life. Yeah, I hope she writes her book.
Yeah,
her first one.
And really, her boyfriend Reggie was like her first boyfriend when she was famous, and I really think she like loved that guy. I'm interested in what too. Happened there.
I thought that was like yeah. Well, this kind of weirdly goes hand in hand with what I'm standing this week. It's
okay.
I cannot believe that after, you know, lockdown started in March, I spent most of 2020 alone. I can't believe that it took until January of 2021 for me to remember that the app Words with Friends exists. I was playing a different game with my brother that my brother asked me to download, and it just like reminded me that Words with Friends is a thing, and now I can't stop. I'm completely addicted, and it's like the best and the worst of the internet, because like it's very mind-numbing but it's like there's also like the chat function, which is a dangerous but exciting thing to see. Because, for instance, I was playing a game with a kid I went to summer camp with in high school who I probably haven't seen in over a decade. And we had a casual, comfortable back and forth as we were playing, which was lovely. But then there's also the strangers, and there's all that stranger danger in the chats. But it's evocative and it's interesting. And I need any – maybe you know, or Stans, if you know, please let me know. But I feel like Words with Friends was never fully explored or examined in the world of the romantic comedy to its full potential.
Ooh.
And if I'm forgetting a movie or if I missed a movie, someone please let me know, because it feels like the perfect playground for like a Hallmark Channel or a Freeform or some sort of made for TV movie where like two warring colleagues who hate each other by day, you know, very like, You've Got Mail for
yes
the cell phone era. And so if this movie doesn't already exist, Hollywood, call me, because we can make it happen.
Now, remind me, Words with Friends is which one? Is it that one's like Scrabble?
Yes, it's the one that's like Scrabble. Okay. And I'm pretty sure, connecting it to current events, I'm pretty sure this is the game that years ago Alec Baldwin threw a hissy fit because he wouldn't turn his cell phone off and stop playing Words with Friends on a phone.
Which one is the game that was like the improv warm-up mind meld?
Oh, I don't know if I know about this game. I might have missed this game. I'm not a huge cell phone game person because, and we were just kind of talking about this before we started to record, I typically have always had an old phone that like can't keep up with my friends. Like, I'm usually that person that's like, I can't download the game. My iOS is not current enough to play. Like, my mom and my brother replaced me because I couldn't get Mario Kart to play on my phone. So one of my best friends from high school, Katie, now plays Mario Kart with my mom and my brother, because for months my phone just like, anytime I try to open the app, it just dies.
Yes, this game, I cannot remember the name, but it was like Mind Meld, the improv warm-up. And today's guest and I actually used to play, and sometimes we would guess right on the first guess. I remember one, we both guessed Ashley, spelled with two E's, because we were obsessed with watching Princesses Long Island, the long forgotten, but not by me, Bravo show.
Wow. Well, I could talk about Words with Friends all day, but I think it's time to have fun with your friend, who I'm excited to meet today for the first time, because she's
yes.
a true icon to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm getting nervous just thinking about how many questions I'm going to want to ask, but should probably wait because, you know, she is a stranger to me. So
correct. Okay. And remember, tethered to reality.
I'm trying to tether to reality.
Today's guest, I mean, I couldn't be more excited. Please welcome co-EP and writer for Bridgerton, Lila Cohan.
Woo! Hello.
Yes. So we used to play the game, but it wasn't Words with Friends, but it was Words. Words was in it.
Words was in it. It was like, guess the word. That can't be what it was.
No,
but that's what it was.
It really was so stupid. It was like Mind Meld, the improv warm-up, if you're familiar with that. In 2013, 2014, New York comedy scene, we were playing, baby. We were playing, and then we were Instagramming, which felt so new and interesting. It's like, here's my funny answer.
And there were no stories. So that was all on the grid, baby.
Oh, yeah. That was a dark time.
It was a dark time. Sometimes I'll do a deep dive on my Instagram to like the early days. And oh. I'll look back and I'm like, why would I have posted that?
No, you have to archive. You have to archive hard.
We're all archivists now.
You know, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. That's especially important to this program. And today we're talking women's bodies on television. Something right. y'all yes. love.
We are. Because I was sending Caitlin Apollo about how one of the things I loved the most about Bridgerton was like watching the female characters like learn about their bodies and how that's like still like it's not just a Regency era activity, folks. Like I have like in the past, like about like a year and a half ago, started the diagnosis for PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric mm-hmm. disorder, which is
me too.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Hey girl.
Which is something until my therapist was like, hey, I think you have this thing. I was like, I had never heard about it. And for like my whole, you know, millions of years I've been alive, thought that I was like weird or thought that like was made to feel like, oh, everyone has a period. You're just like making it worse than it is. And then like once I had a name for it and I could like search for something specific, I found like all these communities of women and I'm like, I'm not what? Like even just this week I joined this like Facebook group and I was like, what? Other people get colds every month at the exact same time. Like, this is crazy.
It's crazy. And it's like just like on that like note about like female biology, mm-hmm. like I have a 3-year-old and when I was trying to get pregnant and I had a miscarriage before him, it was the first time I'd always had my period every like 3 weeks. And I'd been like, this feels weird. This seems like it's like not great. Like I'm constantly menstruating. and no one cared. And then when it was time for me to have a baby, they're like, oh, that's why like you had a miscarriage. Cause like your body doesn't have enough time between ovulation and your period basically. Mm-hmm. Cool, like I'm glad we're gonna fix this so I can have a kid, but like I've been complaining about this for years.
Yeah, I've been a human this whole time.
And this is still a quality of life issue for me, not just like a reproductive issue.
Right.
And when I started getting pregnant, I was like, oh, I didn't know anything about how the reproductive cycle worked. Like I just knew, like I was like, man, I get my period. Like
yeah.
A lot.
And honestly, if we were more truthful, like that's all the sex ed I needed to be like, I'm going to be careful. Once I learned what pregnancy was all about, I was like, whoa.
Thank God. I kept saying while I was, after I had my son, I was like, here's my whole sex ed plan. Just show them a picture of my postpartum hair loss. Like, stop doing it.
My best friend and roommate from college, when she was pregnant, we went, oh, I'm going to blow up her spot, but like, I'm not saying her name, but like, y'all can figure out which one of my roommates that I still am very close to and has had a baby this was. But she and I were on a walk one night. I decided when I couldn't attend her baby shower and I was like, I don't want to give you a gift for the baby. I want to give you a gift for you. So I took her out to like a fancy dinner. Like we went out and like did that. And after dinner, she's like, oh, I really need to go for a walk. And we did. And she was laughing so hard. She like stopped and she grabbed me. She was like, Brickman, I laughed so hard. I'm not sure if I peed my pants or not. And I was like, do you need to go to the bathroom and check? She goes, no, that's just being pregnant. I never know if I've wet my pants or not. And I was like, that is, if more people talked about that.
Like, it's a harrowing situation. It's like, I know multiple women who went to the hospital and were like, my water broke. And the doctor's like, nah, you peed yourself.
Like, we need to talk about this. I didn't know.
Oh my God. Well, needless to say, we're all experts on the subject, but Lila, we do like to give our credits and make the audience feel at ease that they're with experts. I think we've done that already. But moving into the credits portion, I have one I feel like is very funny. I usually, Lila, talk about my illustrious and bizarre career work history, and this is where it actually all started. This is my first ever writing gig where I got paid to write something. I got paid to write Herbal Essences commercials. The orgasm commercials.
I love that.
I didn't think of the concept. I don't want anyone to think, first of all, that I'm very old or that I thought of that concept, but I took the baton from someone else.
That's incredible. I love that each week I learn something new about you, Caitlin. I love that we can keep it fresh.
Great. And each week I say my credit's not going to be a weird job I have, and then I remember one that's just too related.
I'm going to keep my credit simple this week. I am someone who identifies as a woman. I identify as having a body. And my body's been on TV. That's my credit.
There you go. The body has been featured on television. Mm-hmm. We don't think about it that way
enough. Yeah. I've seen my body on a TV screen. So that's my credit this week.
And live to tell the tale.
Incredible.
And Lila, we've already said your credits on and off screen, but anything you'd like to add?
I did, besides my work on Bridgerton, I was on a season of Awkward that also featured Tamara learning how to have an orgasm with herself. So
that's a specialty. That's a go-to of yours.
It's a go-to of mine.
I just want to say thank you for your work. That show was really important to me in grad school. So,
my God, thank you. I was only on the last two seasons, but it was very fun and truly made like lifelong friends.
That's so fun. Oh yeah, that was my Awkward and Switched at Birth were like the two shows that gave me joy when I was in my final year of grad school.
Incredible.
I love it.
Switched at Birth.
Listen, absolutely. One of my classmates in grad school pointed out, she was like, the great thing about Switched at Birth is because you have to read the subtitles, you have to just pay attention to that and nothing else. You can't multitask. And so it was just like a great, like, I have to just do this and be here in this moment. And I loved it.
I love that. I have a friend who wrote for both, so I will tell her that.
Wow. You're a super stan, Lauren.
Oh my God.
No.
I feel like I'm at my own personal Comic Con right now.
She's also written a Hallmark movie, so she's like, really,
who is this queen?
Oh my God.
It is Lauren's dream to be in a Hallmark movie. That is her career aspiration.
Oh, it's God. So true. Maybe she can help me make the Words with Friends Hallmark movie. All right. Well, obviously, we have a true queen and expert in our midst. And so I think we need to put your incredible pop culture prowess and female-centric know-how to the test in a little game that we're calling period drama. And so we have collected the synopses of some popular television series and that all featured menstruation plot lines. So I'm going to give you the plot line of a series and you're going to try to guess what series this plot line came from.
I'm so excited.
All right. So the first one has the star of this series getting her period and trying to find a way to talk to her dad without being embarrassed. In this episode, a special guest star who plays a famous TV mom on another series played her pretend mom in a dream sequence to help her navigate the changes she's experiencing in her body. What series do you think this was? And if you need a hint, let us know.
I'm going to say something that is a series I've never watched.
Okay.
But it feels like something that would have happened on it.
Okay.
Was it Lizzie McGuire?
No, but that is a great guess. That is a great guess. Lizzie McGuire, truly iconic. For those of you like me that are in pain because the reboot's not happening, I'm here for you. Feel free to DM. But no, it is. This is like the, I would say this show walked so Lizzie McGuire could run.
Okay. Okay. Shit. I need a hint.
It is. It was a huge hit in the 90s, and the star of the series is now on a brand new show on Fox.
I mean, if it's huge in the 90s, I would have seen it.
I would be surprised, based on everything I know about you, I would assume you were as big a fan, if not bigger fan, of this series as we were. I will say this. If this show didn't exist, we wouldn't have... The Lawrence brothers would have never been a thing if this show hadn't existed.
It's Clarissa. No, it's not Clarissa. So awesome.
Yeah.
Here's, this is so shocking. That's a blind spot for me. I never thought.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So
wow. So Maya Bialik is just a confusing phenomenon to you.
Confusing person for me. I should have gotten that from new show on Fox. Also because the last show I worked on had the same producers as that show, so I was like constantly hearing about their pre-production process. So embarrassing all around.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
She has so many odd things about her that the more clues that you would be given, the harder it would be. It's like,
if she had said Orthodox Jew, I would have been immediately.
Right, with fair. a PhD. We're like, played a young Bette Midler in Beaches. It's like, this is a weird life.
Listen. She's fascinating.
She's fascinating, and I thank her because Blossom taught me a lot about what it meant to grow up.
Yeah.
to blossom.
To blossom. All right. So this next series, the mom and dad of this popular TV show knew something was up with their second eldest daughter, but at first think she's just worried about basketball. Instead, she's actually freaked out about starting her first period and what it means.
Seventh Heaven.
Oh, iconic. That makes so much sense. But
was no. I not right? No.
No, but you're right.
Oh, you know what? Mary was the oldest one on show.
Yes.
When you said basketball, I was like, I got this.
Well, yeah. Actually, Lauren wrote this out and I can see the answer. And my brain was only about half a second ahead of yours. Just okay, really.
Second oldest daughter.
And I will say this. I didn't remember that this character ever had a connection to basketball. So when I was like, they did.
Well, she's sporty and a tomboy.
A tomboy for sure. Sporty,
can
I don't remember.
Decade hint?
This was in the 90s, but I will give you a super hint. The show has been rebranded and is back on the air.
Oh, was it Full House?
No,
another no, mom and dad idiot.
idiot. Stupid idiot. The mom dies before the series. That's why the whole series exists. Idiot.
What else has been rebooted? I mean everything.
I mean the problem is everything.
It's currently on the air. The reboot has not concluded.
Oh, Roseanne.
Yeah. I had totally forgotten that this was one of Darlene's storylines.
Oh my god. Yeah. I know that the guy from Seventh Heaven turned out to be a bad person.
Stephen Collins. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No child molester.
Yeah.
Should, though, they reboot Seventh Heaven without him? Like, should
100%.
It?
100%.
Yes. Beverly Mitchell will do anything.
I was going to say, Beverly Mitchell is free. Like, let's not mince words.
She's Instagramming constantly. So she's not free, but Jessica Biel could use,
honestly,
PR.
Honestly, let's bring it to HBO Max and let's deal with the dad character
dying.
Oh, I was going to say, let him be in jail for being a known pedophile.
Oh my God.
Let's and just speak to it.
I would love Annie Camden to read him for filth.
Yeah.
After he was so mean to her because she smoked pot once.
Yeah. That's real. Like, let's deal with that hypocrisy. Like, this stuff happens. I think the case is still active, so I won't go into too many specifics, but like a church that I did community theater at as a child had this was a real storyline at a real church. This stuff happens. They should do it. They should deal with it. That's my thought.
Agreed.
Send Pastor Camden to jail and let's see the aftermath.
I mean, I'm here for this dark reboot of Seven Heaven.
But we can't have Stephen Collins in it. So
No.
It's just gonna have to be like,
no,
he died in jail.
It's like what the Housewives of Salt Lake City are talking about. Like, you've done wrong. We don't acknowledge you. No one's going to visit him in jail.
Shunning.
Yeah, shunning. He's been shunned. Okay. We're gonna shun him.
All right.
I love that.
Love it.
Seventh Heaven. Shunned. That's the I think that's what needs to happen. All right, I got another one for you. This should be an easy one, but the star of this series sang a song about period sex.
Crazy Ass Girlfriend.
Yeah, nailed it. In the penultimate episode of this series, two best friends try to find a tampon on an airplane.
Broad City.
Yeah. She's cruising. She's cruising. We're in cruise control now.
Cruising.
All right. The star of this series, unable to find a new job, blames her problems on premenstrual syndrome, causing one of her male roommates to also think he's suffering from the same syndrome, even though he is a man.
Is it New Girl?
Yeah.
Oh, she's on fire. She's on fire.
All right. We have one final question for you. A subplot in the season 1, episode 9 of this long running series finds a major character dealing with mixed up feelings from yelling to crying. And while sitting on a bench with her best friend, realizes she's gotten her first period and soaked through her white skirt.
Oh, on this long running show.
Mm-hmm. Extremely long running.
Well, everyone on Grey's Anatomy is an adult, which would be my first. When you say long running, that is now.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
What happens in my mind?
I will give you the hint that this is not homegrown. This is a Canadian-made television series.
Oh, Degrassi.
Yeah.
You did not mention my number one favorite menstruation-related plot line,
which is
on an iconic short-lived 90s show, Popular.
Yes.
Everyone gets their period at once and they are locked in the bathroom until they figure out their issues. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. Great call.
You know, Ryan Murphy started so hot. Like, Popular was so good. Why?
So good. I've been chasing the hot. Popular.
Yeah. I think we all have. I just want everything to be popular, and I wish Popular lasted 10 seasons, you know?
I mean, even then it had the hallmarks of Ryan Murphy, which is like strong start, and even by mid-season 2 it didn't make any sense.
But there was something about the lack of sense in that show that I was just like, in this world, the no sense makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And I think like very early Glee scratched it for me, but then that went off the rails so thoroughly that, like, in a less interesting way.
They were of the same cloth, but I never liked the characters on Glee as much as I liked the characters on Popular.
They didn't go as hard. Like, you never had a Mary Carey on Glee, you know?
Has there ever been a better?
And then now we're at the prom, and it's like, he's lost. He's lost the thread big time. It's all just his lighting cues, really, and none of it. Didn't understand the script at all.
Oh, prom.
He almost hit me with his Range Rover on the Paramount lot once.
Ooh.
And then he gave me a dirty look as though it had been my fault. So,
well, you chose to walk.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you did a great job. And thank you so much. You crushed this crimson wave. And we're gonna take a quick break to mop things up, and we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Okay, we are back, and I'm excited to introduce the next topic, which we're talking women's bodies on TV. And my thesis this week, I think there's a show we haven't given enough credit to. We don't think of it as revolutionary. We don't think of it as pushing the envelope. But in a way, I think it did. I think Friends showed women liking sex in a way that we never saw before. And I thank them. I'm going to show a famous scene from the show, which is the, well, I'll just let her speak for herself.
All right. You could start out with a little one, a two, a one, two, three, a three, a five, a four, a three, two, two, a two, four, six, two, four, six, four. Two, four, seven. Five, seven. Six, seven. 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 Seven, 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 seven. And there you are.
I just don't think you'd seen a lot of stuff like that before on television, where it's like she's enjoying sex and she's going to try to help Chandler, her future husband, understand how to have good sex. Like, even that being a concept, I think was a running thing on the show, which I appreciate. And there were a lot of things like that. Like when Rachel and Monica get to the bathroom and there's only one condom left and they actually like argue over it. I think that's such a cute scene too, where they're like, I don't want to say it's like you've seen, but I mean, the only comparison that we've had on television is like men operate on TV, where it's like, I want to get laid. And if it means you don't get laid, okay, sorry. Yeah. Like, that's the breaks, gal.
Yeah.
And then the entire Paulo plot. Such that it is just that Rachel wants to have sex with a hot European man.
Listen,
hey,
who doesn't?
He's Paulo. Monica and Chandler, when they do hook up, it's like very sex-based at first, which we know now Monica has like taught him everything about sex. So that worked out. And basically, I like that sex is treated as fun, but it's not weird. Like, I there's shows where they talk about sex as like the best part of their lives, but it's so unconvincing. It's so like overwrought and like no one has had sex that's written this show. It's what you right. feel like even Sex in the City sometimes. I believe Kim Cattrall, but the rest of them, it could just, the way it's written, it's like, what are you guys talking about?
I'm also going to shout out, yes. Even a precursor to Friends, of Elaine on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yes, it is interesting. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I also found an article by Ray Alexandra and KQED, shout out. She did mention that she did research on birth control in television. And let's see, Friends, Seinfeld, Felicity, and Sex and the City all had diaphragm storylines at a time when fewer than 1% of American women were using diaphragms. I think it's just because it's sort of a good... I mean, her point was like the men writing the shows don't know about women's bodies, which we know is true. Yes. I also think it's just kind of a dramatic
yes
apparatus.
Yeah.
So as a writer, you're like, well, what if she did? I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, Friends is not a super serious show, but, you know, we saw surrogacy way before that's become mainstream with Phoebe.
Yeah.
Infertility with Monica and Chandler, an unplanned pregnancy with Rachel and Ross, and somewhat, I guess, Ross and Carol. Ross is having some issues. But my question to you guys, do the men on Friends like having sex? Because I actually find them all not sexual.
Joey
talks about it
he
a lot.
He has sex, but he just doesn't feel sexual to me. Like, he's an example of what I'm talking about. Of like, he's talking about it all the time, but it's like, he talks about it the same way he talks about ravioli. So I'm...
All three of those men seem like they'd be very bad in bed. I will say that. Like,
yeah,
I can't envision a world where any of them are good.
No, I mean, rewatching... Maybe Friends. Yeah, that'd be my guess. Rewatching Friends, Ross is just horrible to be around.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
So that's, I can't imagine. It's weird that they talk to him because they don't like him.
Well, he's Monica's brother. Like, he's kind of.
Yes.
He's just sort of grandfather clawsed into the group.
Yeah. You
know, like. And then when they don't like Emily, they just are like, we don't like her. They have no manners as friends at all.
No. No. What you would do in real life is be like, oh, yeah, Emily, great. And then text the other five and be like, let's fucking talk about Emily.
I guess it's because they didn't have text messaging. Is that why they're so weird?
Well, it's harder before text.
It was harder.
It's really historical. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I'm being anachronistic. You would confront your friend about how you hate them in 1995.
I'm writing a script right now that's has flashbacks set in 1986, and I truly like put it casting in that flashback, and then like fully like wrote three lines, and I was like, wait, Lila.
This is now a sci-fi series where they have advanced technology.
Well, that's my thesis. I think Friends deserve some credit. For showing us female sexuality in a fun way. Also women supporting each other in it, which I think that's maybe the thing I like the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think, like, Friends has been, you know, because it's on HBO Max and there's been so much nostalgia around it, there's also been a lot of backlash against Friends because as we're rewatching it, we're all kind of like, oh, there's a lot of issues here. Like, this show was real white and real homophobic, but there were some bright spots. Still.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There were. And I think, like, it was also just, like, you know, the thing with Friends that you kind of touched on, Caitlin, is that, like, it was women friends talking to each other.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It was very much a precursor. Like, I think that, like, Elaine was really sex positive on Seinfeld, but did Elaine have a female friend? Absolutely not. Like,
no.
And it was, like, I always think, someone, I think Emily Nussbaum maybe said this, but like the fantasy of Sex and the City is not that these women have these like incredible lives or incredible clothes. It's that they have brunch with their friends every week. Like, that I think was kind of the thing with Friends too, is just that like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to like live with my best friend and have a fight over the last condom?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
A fun fight.
Fun fight. Yeah.
Speaking of fun fights, I think that's a great segue into our next segment.
Yeah. This next game is called, Lila, get ready. It's called 5,600 People Died, and it made the best grapes of all time.
Yay!
So as someone someone who recently wrote on a historical fiction show, you know, I mean, we write about different time periods mm-hmm. to learn about our current time period. So we're giving you the job of casting Real Housewives of Salt Lake City in their own new historical fiction show. So I'm going to give you a housewife. You're going to give me a scenario for a show. Could be a sitcom. Could be an hour-long drama. Let me know where you see them and their aura. It could be them starring in it or them as a character. Let me know where they belong.
And it's a period piece?
Yeah. Yeah, we want a period piece, but you know that can mean anything from 2020 on back.
You're time traveling with these SLC women.
Great. So
where are we going to put Heather? What is Heather's historical fiction show?
I want to see... Okay, well, there's two things. I have two options here. Mm-hmm. One is seeing Heather as part of her Mormon ancestors.
Yes.
Blazing a new trail, as she says in her tagline. I'd like to see Heather in a covered wagon. I'd like to see her figuring out the beauty treatments for her other fellow pilgrims. I would love to see that. I also, though, I have been able to stop thinking about whether or not Heather was a good time girl in college. And I think a half hour sort of like Goldberg's Wonder Years adjacent comedy about Heather in college. And in general, like, honestly, because I assume she went to BYU.
Yeah.
She did.
You're great.
Having a Mormon college comedy is very funny to me.
Yeah, and calling a good time girl, and it starts with, it's kind of like an Easy A situation that starts with humor. Yeah,
yes,
I'm into it.
100%.
Greenlit. We love it.
Greenlit. All right, how about Whitney Rose?
Whitney Rose, creator of the most iconic tagline
maybe
we've ever seen.
Maybe, yeah.
Does she know it's bad?
No, I don't think
so.
No, I don't think
so. She's very proud of it.
She's very funny to me. Let's see. Where would I like to see Miss Whitney Rose?
Had an affair with her current husband. He's 20 years older. They are excommunicated. Her dad faces addiction.
Let's see Whitney and her husband. Let's see them in a sexy period Amish drama.
Yeah. Done. Print.
And they're like sassy Amish neighbors. Her husband's hot in this version.
Yeah.
And their love is uncontrollable, but the stakes are so high. I would watch the hell out of that show.
Amish Absolutely. Swingers. Yep.
Amish swingers.
Straight to series.
Perfect. And lastly, but most importantly, Mary Cosby. Where is she?
Mary Cosby's in The Handmaid's Tale, man.
Wow.
Poor Mary Cosby. She's a broken person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She, you know, she's seen some shit. She's been through some shit. She also doesn't know what the Met Gala is.
No, no.
But it will not stop her from throwing that luncheon.
And it doesn't stop me from wanting to be at that luncheon.
No.
The sweat.
Are you kidding me? I want my beta fish. I want my Louis Vuitton AirPods. I want my weird journal that she bought in Barnes & Noble.
I want it all.
She looks like when you see a newborn baby colt and they just are like wobbling around, that's both her like stance and just emotionally, that's where she is at all times.
I just think about her luncheon. I think about the 5,600 people dying. Mm-hmm. I think about... Walter. Nonstop.
Yeah. She's in The Handmaid's Tale.
Wow.
She's the cast.
So real. Wow. I love all of these series. These are all shows I would watch, and I hope they all get made.
Thank you.
I think they will. Let's take a quick break.
And then we'll be right
get
back.
Those greenlit.
Yeah. We're gonna call Hulu and make sure they know Handmaid's Tale, the story of Mary Cosby is greenlit. So we're gonna call Hulu. Wow. We're just calling Hulu a lot these days. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. So once again, you know, stands, you know, this happens to me a lot. Sometimes I sit down to start research on a thesis and I find myself down a rabbit hole and discover a whole new pathway and a whole new thesis that I wasn't expecting. And that once again has happened. I love the Regency era. And we were talking about Bridgerton. I had a whole Regency era thesis planned, but then I stumbled upon an article. And I have to present a different thesis to you all today. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. And today, my thesis is save lives, cast fat people. Because I found this article on CNN Health that came out not long ago. It was published on December 19th of 2019, not that long ago. And it was written by a man named Jack Guy, which I could spend hours talking about that name. Jack Guy, what a name. But the article talks about this study that was led by the University of Durham in the UK. And the study basically was calling for better representation of people of different shapes and sizes to reduce the pressure to aspire to the thin ideal body. And, you know, this isn't anything new. We all understand this. But what was different about this study was that they were actually able to get data by going into, I believe it was villages in, I think it was like perhaps parts of Africa and maybe also South America, but primarily I believe it was villages in Africa that don't have access to TV. So they were able to get this data point where they could really get evidence to support these ideas that we've been talking about for a long time, and that there is a direct correlation between folks who did have access to TV versus people who didn't have access to TV and what their idea of like the beauty standards are. And so these scientists are like, you know, while we're talking about diversifying what we see on TV and how much representation matters, let's also keep in mind that body type representation matters. And so I really think this is while we're all out there working on our scripts and we're thinking about diversity of bodies is really important. And it reminded me of friend of the show, Glow Tavares, and I, in the before times when we did things together, used to host a comedy show called Bertha's Big Fat Pool Party. And it was all comedians that identified as fuller figured folks. And one of the shows, a comic came up to us after the show and they were like, I've done shows that were about like my racial identity, my gender identity, my sexual identity. I've never been in a space where people gathered together based on like their body type identity before. And like, I don't know. And so just thinking about that when we're thinking about creating spaces. Anyways, I just think that based on this study, based on my own experience and based on, you know, we could save people by casting fat people and not just making them tell stories about being fat.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that seems especially.
I work on season 2 of Special on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It'll be out in, I don't know, spring.
Yeah.
I'm super excited because we have a plus size character on it, Ryan's friend Kim, and this season it's half hour episodes, so we have like more time to actually like get to know the characters. And I think Kim's body is mentioned once, maybe, like as in terms of her being plus size. Like everything else is just like her actual story about her revolutionary. But it's like very nice, and also she has sex with some really hot guys, so
hell yeah,
that is important representation too. As a fuller figured woman who's newly single, I feel like
important representation. Well, we've talked about this on the show before, to circle back to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Heather, it on the housewife spectrum is bigger, and they actually, I would say Salt Lake City in general doesn't have like diet plot lines or anything like that.
No.
Like, no one really has like touched on that subject, and it's so much more interesting. So much more interesting.
Out there, she's getting men. She left that party with that man.
Yeah. I want to know what happened there though. That seemed a little dot dot dot.
But no, I totally agree. And it's just like and I will say, like, when I work, it's the hardest thing to get networks and studios to agree to.
Wow.
That's... Like, I had a pilot for a while, and there was, I'm not, in the off chance this is back, I'm not going to mention the actress's name, but it was someone wonderful who's like a very successful actress who has like anchored shows before. And I mentioned her for the lead several times, and the producers kept saying, I just feel she's not aspirational. And that was the word they kept using. And I was like, that's so rude. And it was very hard. Like, they were just like, for the lead, absolutely not. And that seems like people know at this point they can't be openly racist. Yeah. Like, they know they can't be like, I don't want to see a black person in that part. Like, and they know to some extent there needs to be some like diversity of like, sexuality. But I think when it when you talk about bodies, they really get to this place where it's like openly like, no, I don't want to see that. And it's really upsetting.
It's so interesting. When I've heard the not aspirational thing before too, and used, you know, in so many different settings, not just about body type, but, you know, for all sorts of different representation. And it's like, but who's deciding what's aspirational? And that's what that was what was so interesting about this particular CNN article that I was reading, which I will link on our social media. But it's sort of like, you know, that argument of like, it's not what people are looking for. And it's like, well, because at the top, you're deciding what people should be looking for. Like,
right. Like, 100%.
Yeah. And it's like, which again, we all know, but it's like, it's one of those things, like, I think I was having this conversation with my mom yesterday about generational differences, about, like, how we, like, you know, I was like, there's a difference between things that have been felt for a long time and, like, now having, like, data to back up those feelings and, like, having the receipts. And it's like, it's not that any of this is new information. It's not like this isn't stuff that we all haven't been talking about for decades upon decades. But it is interesting, like, when you give something space and money and funding or time or whatever, it's like, look, we can like prove these feelings, we can prove these thoughts, and like, hopefully what we can't keep ignoring, you know? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think, and I, yeah. And I think one of the things that made me like so upset too is when I was doing my initial research, part of what led me here was like, there were all of these like listicles that were trying to like celebrate the female form with characters that were like, you know, plus size and kicking ass and taking names. And like some of the like there's one article that tried to say like Nikki Blonsky on Huge, it wasn't a character about being fat. I was like, that whole series took place at a fat camp.
Like,
it was all about how being fat was bad. Like, just because they were falling in love, like, they were at a fat camp.
Like, it's all huge.
Yeah, it's all huge. Like, you can make it as positive as you want, but, like, they were at a fat camp.
That is hilarious.
And, you know, not that I wasn't excited about it, not that I didn't shoot a self-tape for it in my apartment in Iowa City, but it was still about a fat camp. So I'm very excited to see Special and see this plus size actress banging people.
She's great. She's the fucking best. And also, by the way, I will say, like, her wardrobe, like, every single item is gorgeous.
Well, that's awesome. Exciting. And that's another thing, because another article I was reading was talking about, like, what a small percentage plus size fashion, like, options make up in the entire like fashion industry. And I was like, that's so true, because like, I don't know how often thin folks watch TV and see items from their closet on TV, but it happens a lot when you're fat, because there's just fewer options,
right?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, can I still wear this dress, because Kate on This Is Us has now worn it 3 times.
You could look like you're doing cosplay.
I know. And friend of the show, Jonathan Fernandez, already calls me Kate sometimes. And that's just, what am I doing here?
He's canceled. Let's end on canceling Fernandez. Just kidding. We would never sever ties to the Gossip Girl reboot.
Well, this has been so, thank you so much for coming on and talking women's bodies. This is so much fun. For everyone who's fallen in love with you and they want and want to follow you where you go and find out what the release date for Special is, where can folks find you?
They can find me at Lila Cohan, LeilaCohan, on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm both of those places a lot. Instagram stories, I will warn you, are like very upsetting tonal whiplash because I follow both like a lot of what I would describe as New England porn and a lot of social justice things. So it's like four Black Lives Matter posts and in Vermont. It's like reproductive rights, foliage dog.
Look, it's all important content.
It's all good.
But it is an accurate representation of my mind. So
there you go. Well, you can follow us at We Stand Social across all the dang platforms, every one of them.
Try to find a platform we're not on, I dare you. That's our thing. We like to be on the socials. If you have an idea for an episode that you want to hear us get into, or if you have any clapbacks, or if you have seen a romantic comedy that integrates words with friends, please slide into our DMs, email us, westandsocial@gmail.com, or hey, use our Google voice number. It's up there.
All right. Later, Stan Stans.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire together.